Good morning. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a blessed day for sure in the Lord, and good to see everybody here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John chapter 19 and verse 30. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able while I read from God's Word. Today I'll be preaching, "It Was All Paid by Jesus." John chapter 19 and verse 30. "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for this passage right here, knowing that Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for our sins, and that it was finished. And God, we ask and pray today that, Father, You will help us to carry on the work, that You will strengthen us and guide us and make us the kind of people, dear Lord, that You want us to be. We are so thankful that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And God, as I preach this message, let every word come from You through Your Holy Spirit, and let nothing come from me or my own flesh. And God, we give You the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to really focus on this today, because this was a very pivotal moment. Jesus had been nailed to a cross, and every single person that knew Him, that walked with Him, that loved Him, they thought it was all over. They thought He had been totally defeated. They thought that it was all done and over. They thought that everything Jesus had told them was maybe not truthful, because you know, you have to think in these people's minds that this event has now taken place, and now Jesus is on the cross, and He said, "It is finished," and then He bowed His head and He died. And then you kind of wonder, you guys know how it is in the human mind when there's an event takes place, and then you start to question, there's doubts arise, there's all kinds of fears. But what I want to look at today is what happened, and that Christ paid for your sin, and He paid for mine. When we think of the word "it is finished," it carries the weight of a completed action with lasting consequences. So when Jesus said, "It is finished," what He's saying, He's not saying, "I'm done, it's all over with, there's no more of me left." With Him saying, "It is finished," those words, from what I just said, carry a lasting consequence. When Jesus said, "It is finished," what He was talking about, He was talking about that He has completed what the Father sent Him to do on this earth. Now, I want you to know this. I can guarantee you that Jesus could, if He could have had it His way, He wanted this type of death, He wanted it to pass Him by. He knew what He was going to face. But He also knew that if He didn't die, He knew that anybody that would be born and to live in the years ahead would have no way out of hell, and that we would all be condemned to die, that we would all be in a place of darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the lasting consequence from "it is finished," what really happened, death happened physically, but what I want you to see in the spiritual sense, life has really started to happen right at this time. Jesus said, "It is finished." The Father's will has been done. He carried everything out to the very detail of what God the Father wanted. And now we're starting to see the consequences of his death. And his death is what brought life. Now, his death helped to do away with the old covenant. If you look back in the Bible, the old covenant was the Torah, the law of Moses, and the Ten Commandments were in that law or under that covenant. And the people back in the day, in order to be forgiven of their sins, they had to sacrifice animals. There was a detailed list of everything that they had to do in order to be forgiven of their sins. But the death of Jesus Christ, when he said, "It is finished," it brought us a brand new covenant, which is a blood covenant, and the old covenant has been done away with. So I want you to know that today. We no longer live under the Old Testament covenant. But what his death also did when he said, "It is finished," it pointed everything, the prophecies from the Old Testament, it pointed everything toward the New Testament birth and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you've ever read the Bible, how many of you have ever read the Old Testament? Anybody ever read? And you know that when you're reading through the Old Testament, there's a lot of prophecies had been made about the coming of Jesus. There's also prophecies about Jesus dying on the cross and giving his life for you and I. And I don't know about anybody else, but I am truly thankful today for these words, "It is finished," because it has spared me from an eternity in hell. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Lord Jesus has given me life everlasting. He has given me a divine power. He has given me the strength to carry on the work that I do. Now, what Jesus said here, it wasn't said in the first person like, "I am finished." Jesus said, he wasn't saying, "I'm completely done now. I'm going to go on to heaven and that's it." That's not what he's saying. Jesus is still very much at work in the life of every believer. He is there. He is our mediator between us and God the Father when we pray. He is the one who walks with us. He is the one who provides the life. He's the one who provides the healing. And he's the one who gives us his love, pours into us. And I am so thankful today that we have that. Without Jesus, you and I would be headed down a pretty lonely path. When Jesus was saying, when he said the words, "It is finished," he was saying it in the third person that it is done, and he's referring to the Father's will. Now, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, Jesus said as he prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But then Jesus also said, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." So here you and I are, God's chosen people. We have received Christ into our lives, and that's the work that Jesus is still doing. Jesus is knocking upon the heart's door of many people. Jesus wants to come in and have fellowship. He wants to change your life. He wants to make everything brand new. He wants to put love in your heart. He wants to give you a song to sing. He gives you a reason to live. And I tell you what, before I met Christ, I didn't have a lot to sing about. I didn't have a lot to be happy about, really. But to this day, now that I have Christ in my life, I look back at what he's done for me, and this is what he died for me, and that's causing me to want to live for him. When I get up of a morning, I love to get up and say, "Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you that you're with me." And I thank you that you'll never leave me and you will never forsake me. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my wife, my home, every blessing that you have given to me. But most of all, God, I thank you for Jesus. I have a reason to get up. I have a reason to celebrate. I have a reason to go out and tell others what he has done for me. But Jesus was given a task by God the Father, and he came and fulfilled it. And that's where you and I come into play as Christian people. We have a calling. We have a purpose. We have a job to do. Just because we go and witness to a few people, that doesn't mean we get to step aside and say, well, I'm done now. No, it's an everyday occurrence. Jesus has told us, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we are supposed to be doing. And when you and I lay down this old earthly vessel, that's when we will get to say, it is finished. And I hope that God the Father will be able to say to each and every one of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I am very pleased with the life that you have lived. And that's something that we have to look within our hearts upon today. Am I doing this for Jesus, or am I just doing it to exist? Jesus did everything for us because he loved us. He didn't have to come here. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to save us from an eternity in hell. But he loved you and I so much, that's what motivated and moved him to come and do that. The one who is immortal became mortal for you and I when he died on that cross and was laid in the tomb and he rose on the third day. He was showing his glory and his power. And that glory and that power are transferred to the heart and the life and the spirit of every person that has ever trusted Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. I still like that old song. He walks with me and he talks with me. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. So what I'm saying, if Jesus died for us and he gave his life, then you and I can face anything that comes our way. I was talking with a few folks this morning before service. And this is something I want you to realize. When you get close to Jesus Christ, when you start serving God, when you're reading your Bible, when you're praying, guess who comes along for a fight? And guess who wants to go 20 rounds with you? And guess who won't stop attacking you until you stand firm in the faith and in the power that God has given to you? I'll tell you what, when we pray as the Lord's people, it makes things happen. When we are praying, when we are praising God, and when we are about God's business, telling others about Christ, and as long as we are living a steadfast life founded upon the Lord Jesus, I guarantee you the devil's not going to want to stick around your camp. But that doesn't mean he won't circle back and come and try to find you later to see where you're at in your walk. If the devil can find a place, just a little crack, where he can get a finger or a toe in the door, he will destroy your life if you open that door and let him in. I've talked to people this week who've had numerous struggles going on in their life. And I want you to know that on the cross, every struggle was already taken care of. Everything that you would ever face in life, Jesus said, it is finished. There's a ministry for you and I to carry on in this church. I was texting with Cheryl Huey yesterday, and she texted something back to me. Now, I got it on my phone. I won't quote it word for word because I don't remember it, but I'll tell you, kind of paraphrased. She told me that she said Boscadel is a wonderful place. She said, I went to that church for many years. She said, when I was 15 years old, I lost my mom. And she said, those people were there for me. See, the work that you're doing, it's not a useless work. It's a work that produces results. So what you're doing in the name of the Lord, the lives that we have all touched in some way, shape, or form, it's not done in vain. We're doing everything that we do for the glory and for the will of God. Jesus accomplished the work that he came to do. It signified the completion of his earthly mission. So, as long as you and I are on this earth, we have work that needs to be done. And we have got to ask the Father, what is it you want me to do today? Now, I done told you the story a week or two ago about the woman with Alzheimer's getting saved, what God did there. And I want you to know that we have to rely on the Lord day in and day out for the power that we need. The Lamb of God was provided for us. When we go back to the Old Testament, you look at Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was taking Isaac up to an altar he had built, and he was going to sacrifice his son. Now, can you imagine being a parent and taking your only child up that hillside or up the mountainside, and you know that you're going to sacrifice, you're going to take the life of that child? Could you imagine? But here's the thing that we don't want to miss. Abraham had a faith and a trust in God that kept him going up the mountainside. He wasn't looking at the situation with his own eyes or his own understanding. Abraham is going up the mountainside with Isaac. Isaac was probably really unaware of what was going on. But see, Abraham trusted God to provide. So when he laid Isaac upon the altar and he had the knife up above him, and Isaac, I think he also knew by that point then too. About that time, God stopped Abraham from taking the life of his son. And you know what God did for Abraham? He provided a ram. There's a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham went and sacrificed the ram. So see, what I'm telling you today is God provided the sacrificial lamb. You and I were condemned to die. You and I were facing judgment. We were facing that eternity in hell. We were going up that mountainside, and basically that was going to be the end of our life. We had no hope beyond that. But God the Father looked down upon mankind, and through His love, He saw our destiny, and He wanted to change the direction of it. And Jesus knew that He had to come, and He knew that He had to pay the price. And Jesus laid His life down for you and I. Now, how many of us will be a sacrificial lamb for somebody else? And I'm not talking about in a physical sense. Now, sometimes it's come down to that where people have died for somebody else and somebody got saved. It's happened over the years. But what I'm saying, in our service to the Lord God, we need to be a sacrificial lamb. We need to be the one who is filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And we are the ones who need to go out into our neighborhoods, where our places that we work, even people that are right down the street from us. And we need to be telling them about Jesus Christ and what He has done for us in our life. We need to tell others about the life that He gives, how different His love is, and only the true and real joy that He can give. Our sin debt is paid in full. The moment that you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when Jesus said, "It is finished," it means He's paid it. You don't have to struggle and worry, and you don't have to try to work for the salvation. It's already been done through the precious and powerful shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your debt has been paid. And that's the one thing the devil likes to do. The devil likes to come at you as a saved person, and he'll try to tell you you're not saved. He'll try to tell you that the person you just witnessed to, they'll never get saved. You'll never amount to anything. God couldn't do nothing through you. That's the things the devil wants you to buy into, because he wants to stop God's army from growing. I tell you what, from all the stories I continue to hear that's happened on this hillside, that's come out of this church, boy, I tell you what, I wish that I could have lived long enough way back when. I wish I could have been one of the first few members of this church and still be alive today. Now, that'd be a pretty old person, I tell you that. But I sure wish that I could have seen and experienced the stories that I've heard. Cheryl Huey texted me and said, "Oh," she said, "I remember the days of vacation Bible school and Sunday school and the hay rides. And you know what? All that's great. All that is great, but we can never let those things take place of what our job is, of what our mission is. We always have to keep God first in our life. We have to keep God first in the church. We have to keep God first and above every program that we have. We have to bring everything under His submission and His authority and His control. And we have to ask Him, "Father, how do You want us to go about doing Your work and Your business?" I don't like to say business. You know, that's one thing I can't stand is the word business in a church. Okay. So, the work that God's called us to do. "Father, what do You want me to do today? Who do You want me to talk to? Father, put somebody in my path that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Let me share with them." Now, I can tell you this. I love a lot of the stories that Janine, when she's been at work, you know, God put her in that place for a reason. There's been people come in that store, and she can attest to this. And she's had me in tears just sharing with me some of the testimonies. She's led people to the Lord. She has spoken life into the ones who came in there defeated. And she wasn't asking for a pat on the back. She wasn't asking for the Lord to give her some rich blessing out of it. She was doing it because of the love in her heart. Just like everybody else in this church serves other people. It's because of the love that's in your heart. The sacrificial lamb was made, and you and I are making a sacrifice daily to carry on that work. And who is with us every step of the way? The Lord Jesus. I tell you what, I think it was David said to me this morning. He said, "The Spirit's in this place." He said, "The Spirit is in this place." There's something about that little white church on the hill. Effie, this church, it's not a big grand palace, is it? It doesn't have marble pillars, and it doesn't have a 1 acre wide baptistry like a lot of these fancy churches have, and it doesn't have the glorious, comfortable seats that almost look like lounger chairs in some places I've seen, and it don't have the padded pews. But you know what it does have? You know what this little church building has? It's got a lot of love. It's got Jesus in it. And it's got a lot of good people in it. So, as a church, as we are moving forward, are we going to continue to let God lead it? Are we going to continue to let Christ be the center? I hope so. That's why the doors have stayed open for so long at this church. And if you look at it, this church is out, it's out in the country a little ways, isn't it? It's a little far away from the comforts of town and all that. Some folks like to go to church right down the block or something, maybe. But if we'll start telling people about Jesus, and I was so thankful when Laura said, I want to start Sunday school again. And then I saw that announcement in the bulletin. Praise God for that. I've been praying a long time for this, to see Sunday school. And we're still praying for Bible study on Wednesday night to come back to this church. And it's going to happen. But we got to trust the Lord. And we can never stop in our service to the Lord and say, am I done yet? Do I have to do more tomorrow? I don't know if I could take another day, Lord. That's where we have to get on our knees before the Lord. Because I'll tell you this, the more time that we spend on our knees before the Lord every day, the more we will be able to stand when we fight the battle. So I want you to know this. When Jesus said, it is finished, He wasn't saying it's all, I'm done and it's all done. He's saying, the will of my Father is done. Your sin debt's been paid. So quit struggling, quit fighting, just trust in Him. Let Him have everything in your life. And I want to say this because I'm just as bad about it, is let's all quit trying to control the things in our life that we have no control over. Let us submit to His authority. Let's submit to His Holy Spirit. Let's submit to His will. And let us turn our hearts away from the devil and the things of this earth, because all of it's temporary. I had somebody say to me the other day, you know what, Jim? They said, I'm so sick that I wasted a lot of my life trying to build a little empire on money and retirement and this, that, and the other. He said, I've spent my entire life trying to make all the money that I could. And he said, here I am now, all this much older. And he said, for what? Nothing. He said, I didn't profit nothing. But I want to tell you this. With Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you'll profit a lot. Because He has so much to give. Now, there may be somebody in this church house today that your name's not in that Lamb's Book of Life, and you know it, and God knows it. Nobody else needs to know that. But if you need to make that decision today to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, He's standing at your heart's door knocking. All you have to do is open it and let Him come in, because He's still at work. He's still moving. And He still loves you and I. He still loves you and I. I'm going to tell this last little quick story and then I'll close. Little church down at, well, I won't say where, but this little church, two young men a couple months ago broke into it and set different places of it on fire. Well, this past a couple weeks or so back, these two young men got caught, and now they're in jail. And this is what, so the post, and this is one thing I don't like about Facebook. People get on Facebook, Christian people, that I know are Christians or profess to be Christians, the story is up there about these two young men, and you know everything I saw? Hate. Hate, hate, hate. Gossip, hate, gossip, hate. And I thought, not one person has said anything. And I felt the Lord put it on my spirit. And I said, you know what? I said, I'm glad that these two young men were caught, but we can't forget to pray for them. And this is what I said, that Jesus loves them just as much as He loves everybody else. Sure, what they did was wrong, and they're going to have to pay for their actions, but Jesus can still save them. So we have to be careful how we present ourselves before this world. Because if the world doesn't see us going about the Lord's business, then they'll never be turned on to Jesus.